All right, I think I'd like to move into the agenda, if I may, proper. What I'd like to do, particularly while the Secretary is here, is move into item 5, which is the protection of the Harbour Ordinance discussion. Now, I know I've seen members' comments about late receipt of papers, and I agree it's a complicated subject. Today's is more of a briefing on the history and where we are today. Many of you are conversant with that, but a number of members are new to this topic, so we wanted to take you through and explain where we are and what the challenges are that we're facing. The other thing I want you to think about carefully is how we take things forward. Perhaps why during Christine's presentation you'll just be thinking about that. I think government is hamstrung. I think government is going to find it very difficult to take this forward. Yet I think we, as the champion for the harbour, I mean, if you look at our remit, our terms of reference, we are the champion for the waterfront, champion for the harbour. I think this is an issue that we should grapple with, and I think it's an issue that we should try and resolve. Obviously, we need to dialogue with the Society for the Protection of the Harbour. We need to take the community with us, but there has to be a solution which involves some flexibility for the future. We can't be frozen as we are now. So just think about that. I mean, maybe it's a dedicated working group, a very small group who take the issue forward and work on how we might shake it loose, because we have to shake it loose, that's for sure. But anyway, Christine, are you going to brief us?
Thank you, Chair.
And can you take members through slowly?
Slowly, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, I would like to apologize to members for the delay in issuing this paper. As the Secretary, the onus is on me, so I would make sure that in the future papers will be duly issued to members as soon as possible. And exactly because of this reason, I'm going to take through in details the paper. So pardon me if it's going to be quite a detailed presentation. Now, first of all, the background of this discussion. At the meeting of a Carbon Task Force back in March, one member actually talked about, we talked about an issue, and then the PHO issue was raised, and then the task force actually agreed at that time that the issue should be raised to the commission level for all members' detailed discussion. And that's why this presentation is intended to set out the entire background of this legislation, and also to provide provide information for members to decide on how we're going to proceed from now on. The PHO actually first came into force on the 30th of June 1997. It originated the private members' bill, and according to the speech of the chairman of the then Bills Committee, he described the purpose of PHO to be to ensure that Victoria Harbour will be protected against excessive reclamation. It establishes a presumption against reclamation in the harbour. And when first enacted, PHO applied only to the central part of Victoria Harbour, which we generally call the inner core harbour area, including Chermside Cherry and central, business district. However, in December 1999, PHO went through another legislative amendment, and its scope was then expanded to include the entire Victoria Harbour. The Annex A to the paper actually provides a map that draws out the Victoria Harbour area. So if members would like to take reference to that, that's okay. And also Annex B indeed is the entire PHO for reference. So I should have mentioned that upfront. So if we actually look at the PHO, it's actually just one page, it looks simple, but actually entails a lot of details into it. The long title of PHO provides that the ordinance is to protect and preserve the harbour by establishing a presumption against reclamation in the harbour. It consists of four sections. Section 1 is just a short title, which you can easily read from the paper. And then Section 2 provides for the definition of some terms. Reclamation is defined to mean any works carried out or intended to be carried out for the purpose of forming land from the seabed or foreshore. And the definition refers to all kinds of reclamation, regardless of the scale, nature or purpose, temporary or permanent. Section 3 then sets out the presumption against reclamation in the harbour and the duty of public officers and public bodies. Allow me to read them out. Section 3 once stipulates that the harbour is to be protected and preserved as a special public asset and a natural heritage of Hong Kong people, and for the purpose there shall be a presumption against reclamation in the harbour. Section 3.2 reads, all public officers and public bodies shall have regard to the principle stated in subsection 1, that is the subsection above, for guidance in the exercise of any powers vested in them. Section 4 of the PHO then deals with the transitional matters. The effect of it is that the PHO does not apply to reclamation that were authorised before the commencement of PHO. Now, subsequent to the enactment of this piece of legislation, there was actually a judicial review, which is very important in bringing about the overall effects of PHO on its implementation on our harbour front. Members would recall that under the proposed Central Reclamation Phase 3, reclamation would need to be carried out within the Victoria Harbour. The land to be formed from this Central Reclamation Phase 3 was to provide roads, namely a trunk road, Central Wan Chai Bypass, and also road P2, among other issues, among other provision, including waterfront promenade and also Harbour Park and other provisioning of various facilities. And in connection with this Central Reclamation Phase 3, the Town Planning Board exhibited the draft Wan Chai North Outline Zoning Plan number H251 in April 2002 for public inspection. In response to that OZP, TPB received a lot of written representations and comments expressing objections to the proposed reclamation contained therein. And then on 27th of February 2003, SPH, Society for Protection of Harbour, represented by Mr. Zimmerman here today, initiated a judicial review against the decision of TPB in respect of the draft plan. In particular, TPB's decisions not to modify the proposed reclamation. The JL eventually went all the way to the Court of Final Appeal, and that's why the judgment is very important for us to understand PHO. In its judgment, CFA set out the legal principles behind PHO. It also clarified the presumption against reclamation and also the test that can rebut it. CFA considered that the Victoria Harbour was a special public asset and natural heritage that belonged to Hong Kong people, and that the purpose of this piece of legislation was to protect and preserve the harbour by establishing a presumption against reclamation in the harbour. As succinctly and powerfully stated in the explanatory memorandum to the bill, the legislative purpose is to ensure that the harbour will be protected against excessive reclamation. The purpose is to make sure that the harbour will be so protected. The judgment also said that the legislative intent was to confer a unique legal status on the harbour by annexing a strong and vigorous principle that it is to be protected and preserved as a special asset and a natural heritage of Hong Kong people, a principle that all public officers and public bodies must have regard to in exercising their powers. Now, having regard to the purpose and intent, CFA then considered the harbour must be kept from harm and to be defended and guarded, and there must not merely be protection but also preservation. CFA also considered that reclamation would result in permanent destruction and irreversible loss of what should be protected and preserved under the statutory principle. The legal effect of the statutory presumption against reclamation was not to impose an absolute ban or bar against reclamation, but a presumption that could be rebutted. On rebutting the statutory presumption, CFA then propounded a single and demanding test, which is the overriding public need test. In other words, any reclamation can only go ahead if it could fulfill or it could establish an overriding public need for its purpose. And under the test, public needs are defined to include community needs, including economic, environmental, and social needs. And a need should only be regarded as overriding if it's compelling and present, and if there is no reasonable alternative to reclamation. The judgment also ruled that the extent of reclamation, if any, should not go beyond the minimum, which is required by the overriding public need. In addition, the decision that there is an overriding public need must be based on cogent and convincing materials. Subsequent to the CFA's judgment in 2004, the government actually did three things. First of all, it set up the former HEC and later transformed into HEC. And the HEC was set up to advise the government on planning land issues and development along the existing and new harbour fund along the Victoria Harbour. Secondly, the government in August 2004 issued a technical circular to ensure compliance with PHO in the light of CFA's judgment. The government in this circular sets out the requirements PHO and provides guidance for public officers and public bodies in considering and approving reclamation proposals in the Victoria Harbour. This circle is very important because for all works departments and all bureaus and departments indeed, they would have to comply with this internal technical circular before proceeding with all kinds of projects. So this provides a guidance for uniformity and consistency in compliance with PHO. The government, thirdly, also made a public statement in September 2004 that there would be no new reclamation plan in the Victoria Harbour, apart from the two that were ongoing at that time. So after the establishment of Harbour Reform Commission, which is 2010, indeed the subject of PHO or reclamation came up in multiple discussion items, and the Secretary has taken the time to trawl all the occasions that reclamation was mentioned. I have to say that this may not be exhaustive, but at least these are the really prominent ones that the subject or the matter was raised for discussion or expression of concern. I'm not going to read them out, but it's in the paper and also here. So it involves all districts, Kaituk, Island East Corridor, Yokla, Wancha, Yau Tong Bay, Central Kowloon Route, and also Tsim Sha Tsui, West Kowloon. Indeed, in 2013, there was a briefing on PHO at the Waterland Interface Task Force, and this issue was also brought up, and also the proportionality principle was introduced by the SPH by then. And this list, so it's quite a long list, and I think this particular meeting that we're having now also arose because of the many discussions or the many concerns that were expressed in previous meetings as well. So I think as a matter of background, we should understand that, you know, this issue had come up to our attention frequently. And since the CFA judgment in 2004, we are only aware of the following three projects that have fulfilled the overriding public need test in accordance with the technical circular. And they were CR3WD2, Shaoxin Central Link, and Central Kowloon Route, which generally speaking are major mega-sized infrastructural projects, right? But looking ahead, in hand, we're actually working on the engagement process for the boardwalk to be built under the Island Eastern Corridor. That one also involves reclamation, and that's why CDD has involved consultant to work on to build cogent and convincing materials to justify that the project would fulfill the overriding public need test before proceeding further, and we're working on that front. So this is basically an update or the background note to provide for members' discussion on how we should take this issue forward. So my presentation ends here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Christine. Before we have a discussion or debate, Paul, proportionality principles has been mentioned in the presentation, and I think you sent something around today. Is that an official view from the society as to how we might take matters forward?
Yes, it is indeed.
Would you like to speak to it?
Yes, if I can find it. Chairman, we have
brought... Can we put it up on screen? Is this material we could look at? It would be helpful, I think.
Please go ahead. I got it. Thank you. Chairman and members, as the paper has correctly said, the proportionality principle was put forward by the Society for Protection of the Harbour in 2011. It's a fairly extensive document, which I've not circulated here, but I'm sure the government can make it available. It is much longer than this, but a summary document is the one that I have circulated earlier today.
Paul, just give us a second. It's just been handed out to members now, so Okay. Let's just finish the handout if we can. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Paul, on you go. Thank you.
As I said, Chairman, the issue of the proportionality principle was put forward by the Society in 2011. This is not to suggest that there is a different interpretation of law or that there is a new aspect to the law that we want to propose. What we're saying is that when we consider proposals for enhancing the waterfront, and when they do possibly require reclamation, the proportionality is something that we have to take into account when we consider the public overriding needs test. Paper has been summarized, that very long paper, in this short paper which is in front of you, and I've been asked by the Society to circulate that with one note in terms of an amendment. This paper is quite similar to the one in at 2011, except for three words, as a harbor. And as you can see, bold printed, the harbour as a harbour. It's important that the harbour is clearly recognised for its definition. It's not just a body of water, but the harbour is a safe shelter for vessels, and the harbour has a function. And the harbour has to be protected for that function too. So the harbour would have no value if one couldn't get on and off a vessel. So it has to be made clear, and we strongly believe that the harbour front should enhance the harbour front itself should be enhanced, should enhance the enjoyment of the harbour as a harbour, and that is the work for this committee to work on. So the basic logic of the principle of proportionality is fairly simple. It is the ordinance pronounced that the harbour is to be protected and preserved. And therefore, reclamation should be considered from the point of view of the harbour and should be prohibited if it implies depleting the harbour and the function of the harbour. However, where the reclamation is needed and minor, but the value of the harbour is enhanced, then it should be considered favourably. And again, this is not law or a suggestion of a change to the law and a different interpretation. This is a suggestion of how we, as a committee, look at what kind of projects we propose and stand up for. Second, the ordinance constitutes the harbour as a special public asset and natural heritage of the Hong Kong people. Therefore, as the harbour belongs to the public, the reclamation can only be for public benefits and not for private interests. It's needed to enrich the use and enjoyment of the harbour by the public. Again, the reclamation should be favourably considered. So when we make proposals, like, for example, like the boardwalk, we're going to have to be very, very clear about the reclamation, and that we have minimized reclamation. And with a boardwalk, we kind of minimize the reclamation because we're providing for the public overriding need to enjoy the harbor as a harbor, which is the ability to walk along the harbor. But we do that without doing full reclamation. We do that through a minimum provision of an elevated suspended wooden boardwalk between the piers of an existing elevated highway. So the harbour front is thereby enhancing the enjoyment of the harbour as a harbour by the public, and this should be taken into account. As far as the meeting today is concerned, I mean, this was very short notice for us as a society, and the members of the society are very happy to make a representation at a future time to this committee and to respond to the paper that the government has prepared for today and answer any further questions that the members may have.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, just so I'm clear, members are clear, you're not suggesting any change in process, you're just suggesting that this should be a major factor which is taken into account whenever we look at any proposal.
Yeah, this is when you establish the cogent, you know, you look at the public overriding need and the cogent materials you develop. These are some of the aspects you've got to take into account. Mm-hmm. Is what you propose enhancing the harbour as a harbour? Does it provide for enhancing the enjoyment of the harbour as a harbour for the public? and they've got to be clearly identified. And we understand that even if you look at the projects that government did proceed with, the surprising thing is those are all road transport projects and a rail transport project. For those, the transport department has well-established mechanisms to calculate public gains. But the transport department in Hong Kong at the moment has very few tools to calculate public gains of walkability. We know how to calculate congestion charges. We know how to calculate the cost of congestion. We can calculate the public benefits. And that seems to be able to drive the ability of establishing a public overriding need and creating coaching material for these three projects. It's also that these three projects are of mega size, and we've been willing to spend significant amount of money to do the work required to establish those cogent materials. And maybe the other projects that we haven't done are small in nature. We haven't spent much money on it in terms of establishing cogent, the public overriding need and creating the cogent materials. So one shouldn't be shy for the first project, like the boardwalk, to be somewhat generous in the efforts made to go through the process.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very helpful, I think. Please, Ranglin.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to point out that I think in the paper it says the in assessing overriding public need, we need to assess it from three perspectives. One is economics, one is environmental, and one is social. I think Paul has rightly pointed out that, well, in the past, the mega projects, I think they have evaluated the economic benefits and costs, and also the environmental benefits and costs. I am not sure is there a metric for measuring the social aspect, and if there is, I think that's usually the metric that we are using in this commission, because we want to create vibrant public open space along the harbourfront, and it's hardly justifiable in terms of economic and environmental considerations. So I think, I don't have the answer, but then I think we need to, well, give our attention to that. And I also noticed in the paper, there is, on page 7, there is a paragraph 47 from the, I think that's the that's from CFA. And it well, allow me to read that out because, well, I think that gives us some insight. It says a compelling and present need goes far beyond something which is nice to have, desirable, preferable, or beneficial. But on the other hand, it would be going much too far to describe it as something in the nature of the last resort or something which the public cannot do without. I think we are presently bound by more by the first sentence that, well, we must have something beyond nice to have. Mm-hmm. But then we always encounter that, well, is it a last resort? Then it's not. But then it's actually spelled out in that CFA writings that, well, you don't need that to be the last resort in order to implement a reclamation. And I would also like to point out that about the proportionality principle in the footnote on page 9, the last sentence that the government has sought on the basis of the legal advice that it obtained, that actually the proportionality principle is inconsistent with the provisions of the PHO about the scale of the reclamation. That means that the proposal from the Society of Protection of Harbour would not be considered because, well, it involves reclamation. And once it involves reclamation, then because the ordinance does not say about the scale of the reclamation, then, well, this would be, any reclamation would be dismissed. And I would like to say that, well, this is actually against what I just mentioned in page 7 of the CFA rulings. So I would like to, well, point out the inconsistency there. Okay, thank you.
Okay. How do we measure the social metric? That's an interesting challenge. Yeah, but one we're going to have to do. Christine, can you just comment on that footnote?
Yeah.
And that remark about the proportionality principle?
Sure.
I think, Chairman, as we gathered from legal advice, but I have to say it at the outset, is that we truly appreciate any solution that is suggested, aiming to resolve the same issues that we have identified and also to meet social aspirations. So this is one. And then secondly, I think it's important to differentiate between the purpose and also the solution, because what we are trying to do is to find a legally acceptable solution that responds not just to the PHO but also to the CFA judgment. We spend some time to go through the CFA part of the CFA judgment, and I think it's very important to note that they have made no differentiation in the judgment between major or minor reclamation. So in a way, if we have to use a certain principle, we need to ascertain or we need to make sure that it fulfills this judgment in the sense that who is going to judge what is major or minor, say for instance. So I think by not ruling out anything at this stage, I think we are on the exploratory stage now. I think it's very important to make sure that our wishes are sort of listed out, but then we also need to ensure that the solution that we have identified would be accepted legally, and also make sure that it solves the issues that we have identified. So I understand that the chair would like to take this issue to look at it thoroughly, and then I think the few issues that should be brought up is that what exactly, you know, are the issues that we are in face of. And then we have to know what social aspirations we want to untie this issue to meet, and then to find a legally agreeable solution. So I think maybe at this particular moment in time, we can actually talk about how we're going to do it in the future in a systematic manner, instead of going into any particular solution at this stage. So thank you, Chair.
No, clearly it's something we're going to have to address. Yeah, sure. Please, Becky. Thank you.
Chair, I cannot locate this in the paper, but in Christine's presentation, a point really strikes me, that is, you mentioned about compelling, you know, right? I mean, this word of compelling does mean, in a sense, not just the magnitude, that it would be significant gain, but in terms of the timing, there is certain urgency that we do it as well. So I think this is also quite an important aspect that we have to consider in justifying that a compelling need for any project that we are working on. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, a legal view.
Not really. It's so
you wish to qualify your opinion, do you?
Yes, I just want to have more information about the three projects which have been successful in fulfilling the test since the CFA judgment in 2004. Now, I want to know whether the three projects were proceeded straight away without any legal challenge or protest, just fulfilling the test administratively, or actually judicial reviews did take place. However, the judge found that the materials or the whole case presented by the government were able to fulfill the principles and also the test. That's the question I would like to ask, and should be grateful for more information. The second point I would like to take is for those projects which failed the test, would it be also beneficial to us if we can learn from their lessons and bitter experience? Because when KY and I were members of the town planning board, I remember there was a case concerning the central Wan Chai bypass for temporary reclamation. And the project was challenged by way of judicial review, and the government failed the case. So I don't know whether such case could also be helpful for our discussion and for us to take forward the Island Eastern Corridor project. Thank you, Chair.
Christine, please.
Yes. Thank you, Walter. Exactly because of the CR3 and WTD project that I think you recall, this is exactly the judicial review that I elaborated on. Exactly because of that reclamation, the creation of land for Central and Wan Chai that was legally challenged, that we got this elaborate judgment from the CFA. So your question is definitely very valid because this is exactly, I pointed out three projects, right? CR3, WD2, and then Sha Tin Central Link, and then Central Kowloon Route. The first one did meet with legal challenge, and that's why it went all the way to CFA for this particular judgment. That's why it has all these implications that we talked about. As for failed case, there is actually no such reference because we only am aware of these three that actually went through this process and then got built. Looking ahead, what we have in hand is really the Island Eastern Boardwalk case, which is a bit different from the three that we just mentioned in terms of nature and in terms of the needs. But we are trying to establish the compelling and present need for that case as well. But of course, what we are trying to work on, it's really in response to not just the PHO, but the CFA judgment in response to the first case, the WD2 and CR3 case. Yes.
KY, please.
Yes, I think Walter's memory is correct to some extent. When government put up for the Wan Chai Reclamation for WD2, the submission did not include temporary recognition. Mm-hmm. But then there was again legal challenge. And at the end, government has to, if I remember correctly, but I'm sure Mr. Bosco Chen remember even better because he also has been involved for the years. Government revised its submission and then done it properly in a way that so as to justify the temporary reclamation. So at the end, it was not a total failure, but there was certain challenge.
Let me supplement it a bit because there's actually, apart from the CFA judgment, there's also this High Court judgment in 2008 that talks about temporary and permanent. And in that case, it actually categorically mentioned that it includes both types. And that's why at the presentation I mentioned that the definition of reclamation now at PHO applies to all sorts of reclamation, regardless of the nature, scope, or temporary nature.
But Christine, the other two schemes that have the Sha Tin Link and the Central Wan Chai Bypass, they've obviously been through the test. Was it an administrative procedure? I think Walter's point is, was it exposed in a major way? Was the public involved, or was it seen as a fairly clear run, almost an administrative process?
Administratively, the two projects, that is B and C on this slide, also went through this overriding public need test in that the project proponent did collect and write up cogent and convincing materials to justify that these two projects fulfill the overriding public need test before proceeding to its commencement. So these two actually went through and also in compliance with the technical circular that I mentioned before commencement.
I think the challenge is that government, understandably, has tried to avoid this issue for some time and only proceeded with schemes which didn't, if you like, give rise to PHO. Now, we believe that we should go ahead with things which potentially could involve PHO, and this is why it's come to a head. Mm-hmm. Paul, please.
Yeah, just to point out, indeed, the Sha Tin Central Link was an administrative test in Walter's terminology, and so was the Central Kowloon Route, but those were not just administrative, they went with the public, and the public, including the society, had ample time to comment and participate in that process. The temporary reclamation, government thought that temporary reclamation didn't require to be tested, and the court ruled that it needed to be tested as well, and after it was tested, the time, duration, and amount of temporary reclamation was significantly reduced. In terms of other admin tests failed, a yacht center at Yau Tong Bay failed by admin decision not to test. So the proposal for a for a wave attenuation which would allow a yacht center at Yau Tong Bay was by the government. The government did not even take that forward in terms of testing, and therefore it did not even go anywhere. The West Kowloon Cultural District Pier hasn't gone anywhere for the same reason, because the government hasn't gone out and does do the test, which means the process, commence the process, let people participate, draft up the cogent materials and so on. And it believes that it's now the first project, which is the harbour walk at North Point, which is the first train, rail, mega project. It's the first one when the government is actually going forward and just doing a test. We're happy that government is doing that.
Thank you. Any other comments, members, thoughts? I mean, obviously, this has been a useful update, if you like, and a review of what progress to date, but we just can't, I don't think we can just leave things as they are. We have our pilot project, the boardwalk, so perhaps we focus the attention on that and make sure that we secure the necessary support and endorsement for that, and obviously learn lessons from that. But in parallel with that, I think we ought to be identifying a list similar to this one of things that we want to take forward, if you like, which will have PHO implications, and addressing those in a systematic and in a focused way. I don't think we can duck and dive. Please, Franklin.
Yes, and another issue that I would like to request the Commission to study in relation to this ordinance is the definition of reclamation. I have the impression that some things like pontoons are considered reclamation, which I also got the impression from the paper that there is something called irreversible damage to the harbour, et cetera, from the CFA rulings. That's something like, the reclamation is something that caused irreversible damage to the harbour. But, from common sense, pontoons won't cause such damage. So I would say from this perspective, then, things like pontoons should be considered less severely as permanent reclamation.
No. Thank you. I mean, it gets even worse if I may frighten you, but worry you. There's a legal view that anything that casts a shadow on the water is deemed to be reclamation.
Bird flying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to take the extremes, you can. You mean, obviously, if you're looking at things constructively, you don't take that view, but there are those out there who will tell you that casting a shadow on the water is reclamation. I don't think we're going to gain. I think we want your comments and thoughts and observations, but I mean, it seems to me, back to my points at the beginning, that we really should form a dedicated group of people who are really interested in this issue, if you like, can contribute from other experience, from their professional background as well, because I think, you know, we need legal, we need architect, we need surveyor, we need the professions in particular, I think, to contribute to how we might take this forward. We need obviously discussions with the society. We probably do need an independent legal opinion we're going to need an independent legal opinion on various aspects, I think, as we do our study and as we do our review. Christine, do we rely on DOJ if we set up a group and we have legal questions on which we need clarification, or we need someone to advise us on legal aspects? Is that DOJ, or can we have our own legal advisor opinion? What's the process?
Thank you, Chair. I note your point that in the next term of the, I mean, after July 1st, we would actually ask the Commission to set up this working group. And its composition is yet to be determined. However, I think it's very good that we can actually ask the dedicated team to, as you mentioned, trawl through what exactly what we want to achieve. And then after this mandate from the Commission, we can actually, as a Harbour Unit, can actually talk to DOJ to get the legal advice as well, to translate it back to some legal language, and then this is an interactive process that we can work on. So of course we can have members with legal backgrounds to join the dedicated team. However, after all, we would need DOJ's legal advice to make it happen. Yeah.
All right. Paul, please.
Yeah, I guess the challenge is that as long as the Harbour Front Committee is an advisory body to the government is the proponent of the project. And as soon as we're a harbour authority, the harbour authority is the proponent and the government is no longer in a position that it's the proponent of a project that we have advised on. Or the government can take a more relaxed attitude a little bit to the position and consider that the projects that we are the proponent for and they are helping us implement. And if the government would take that approach, which is the, kind of what they did with the Harbour Front Enhancement Review and Wan Chai we did the review, but it was the project proponent was the Highways Department. I'll have to correct that. But maybe that is a mechanism that should be studied. So look at the process of how projects are being proposed, who the proponent are, and if the commission is a proponent of projects, the government should not necessarily go and then immediately say, well, it can't be done, but to assist the process to proceed. And I think that will allow projects that are coming up that we believe as the commission have made good sense and have great public overriding need for them, like the boardwalk, that we can actually proceed with that expediently without just casting it aside entirely, like we did for Yau Tong Bay and for the West Kowloon Cultural District Pier. So I think that we need to think about that, the mechanisms of how we operate on the projects that come in front of us and that we like to promote.
I'd be careful about the commission becoming the proponent, because then you, in a way, you've got a vested interest in the outcome. My sense is we're better being the champion. The proponent takes it forward, but we help, we assist, we champion the cause, particularly if we believe this is a very valuable and useful project. Proponent has implications, I think, in terms of responsibility as well. We want to be there pushing, if you like, and helping get the thing through rather than actually taking responsibility for delivery. But anyway, future commission can chat about that. Please.
Yeah, also, I just want to add one point, is that existing provision, section 3.2 of the PHO actually mentions, as I talked about earlier, is that all public officers and public bodies shall have regard to the principle of the PHO. In other words, I would really have to point out that even if a statutory authority is to be set up, it would also become a public body that has to be complying with the PHO. So I don't think it's. I think all bodies would have to, be legally obliged to observe the PH and also the CFA judgment. So this is just a supplementary information.
All right. Well, let's not park this, but let's put this to one side for today. Let's leave the next commission to next grouping of the commission to. Decide on what's best, but I think if we would, is there general agreement that if possible we should set up a small group and try and really push this forward? Okay, all right. We'll pass that message to the successors. I think that's probably the right way to put it. Yeah.